If you would go ahead and go to Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16. While you're flipping there, I just want to say thank you just for the opportunity to preach. I know Pastor Gillett's not in here tonight, but just so thankful for every opportunity to preach the word. And I'm just very thankful for this church. Every time I've come to this church, whether to visit Megan or when Pastor Gillett gave me the opportunity to preach to the teens a few years ago, every time I've been to this church, it's been an encouragement and a blessing. And this is just a wonderful church that God is using in a great and mighty way. So thank you very much just for all you've done for me and just again for the opportunity to preach to you here tonight. So Romans chapter 16, we'll look at the first 16 verses here. You may be looking at it, realizing it's one of those sections of Scripture that's kind of a long list of names. That's kind of an unusual passage to preach from, I know. You know, it might be one of those sections that there may have been a time as you're reading through your Bible for devotions, you know, one of those times you came across a section like this and kind of look both ways and just kind of skip a few verses. Anybody else ever done that? Is that just me? Okay, well, anyway. But no, this is a great passage of Scripture. I'm very excited to preach it to you here tonight. And it's been a big help to me. I hope it'll be a big help to you as well. So Romans chapter 16. If I mess up one of these names, please forgive me. I'm going to do my best, though. Okay. Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. This is Paul speaking here. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Greet Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Would you pray with me just one more time really quick as we get started? Lord, again, I thank you for this passage. Lord, just speak through me. Lord, help this to be a blessing. Lord, just like it was an encouragement to me, help it to be an encouragement to those here tonight. Lord, I need your help, and we'll thank you for it. So in your son that we pray, amen. So as we get started, just a couple of just quick questions. I'm just to ask to see where we're at. If you could just help me with this. So I want you to raise your hand if you can name the last five Heisman Trophy Award winners. There be anybody that can name? There's a couple. Maybe this one, there'd be a few more. If you can name five of the Cowboys, you know, five of the Dallas Cowboys, would there be a few that could name five Cowboys? That's a few more. They just won their division. That's a pretty exciting thing. You know, what about this? The five wealthiest people in the world. Anybody be able to name? There'd be just a few that could name that, for sure. But what about this one? Can you name five people who have invested into your life and been a help to you? I imagine that'd be everybody. I mean, everybody can think of, and maybe when I said that, somebody came to mind. Somebody that was an encouragement to you, somebody who was a big help to you, somebody that went out of their way to help you to be the person you are today. And you know, the truth of that is, when we think about it, you know, the football players and the super wealthy and the actors and actresses that, you know, people that we talk about often, people that often will dominate our conversations, people that we may pay large amounts of money to go watch play football, or people that will talk about them on radio shows, and these people that, you know, in our minds, or maybe subconsciously or even consciously, we just view as so important. But the truth is, I mean, that football player, he's never really done anything to help you. You know, and the movie stars and all that, I mean, they're you know, fun and entertaining and whatnot. But, you know, those people that have helped you the most, those people that have been there for you. I mean, those are the really important people. Those are the people that have helped you to be who you are, that were there for you when you needed a shoulder to lean on, or the people that have helped you in your life. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you don't need to be wealthy or powerful or, you know, super talented or skilled in something to invest into somebody's life. You just have to care. You just have to love them. You just have to, you know, be willing to put in the time and effort to invest in a person's life. And I love this section of scripture because Paul here is looking back and he's looking at, thinking through the names of some people there in Rome, and he's remembering people that were there for him, people that helped him, people that encouraged him, people that invested in his life. And he's thanking these people and he's showing gratitude to these people because he realizes he wouldn't have been able to do all that he did if it wasn't for these people. And he's just so thankful for them. He's just so just full of gratitude for these people. And, you know, he calls them beloved and kinsmen and all this. And he's just so thankful for these people that invested in him. So as we get started here, you know, I realize it's a long list of names, but I hope that this will be a big encouragement to you as it was to me. So first off, kind of an interesting note, this is the longest list of personal greetings that Paul gives in any of his epistles. I'd say, well, why does that really make a difference? Why does that matter? Well, it's kind of interesting to note because Paul at this point had never actually been to Rome. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things you kind of have to figure out as we go through. Why would he write this long list of personal greetings to a church he had never even been to before? Well, I think obviously, first off, like we already talked about a bit, you know, he was just thankful for these people that he had met along his way in his journeys through Corinth and Ephesus. Because what had happened is, we see in Acts, I think chapter 18, that the Jews that were living in Rome basically got kicked out. There was a ban on the Jews, they were forced out of Rome, and so they went to all these different places. And Paul ran into them as he was starting a church in Corinth, or as he was starting a church in Ephesus. And as he was just going about in all of his missionary journeys, he would run into these people and got to know them. And then eventually the ban was lifted. And the Jews were able to return home, and a bunch did, and came back to Rome and started this church here. And so Paul knows that they're there, and he's heading that way before too long, and he sends this letter in advance. So, I mean, first off, I think it's just to say thank you, just show his gratitude. You know, another big reason might have been because there would have been Jews there in Rome that would have been a bit hesitant about this guy who used to be known as Saul coming to their church. You know, I mean, they had, a lot of people in this church hadn't met Paul. You know, didn't know, you know, necessarily that he was this great Christian man that he was. They had just heard the stories of this guy that was killing, you know, Christians not too long ago. That was, you know, dragging them out of their homes and executing them. And so I think one of the reasons that Paul wrote this long list was to ease the minds of some of the people there. You know, they might say, well, I don't know him, and, you know, I'd be a little bit hesitant to want him here at our church, but if Tryphena and Tryphosa know him, then he must not be too bad. Or, you know, if Junia and Phlegion there know him, then he must not be too bad. So maybe part of it was to ease the minds of some of the believers there as he was heading to Rome. But the thing that I just really find interesting about this passage, again, is just that Paul is just thanking all these people that helped him. He's just thanking all these people that were there for him. Because, you know, we kind of get this idea in our minds as we read through the Bible and hear these stories. And, you know, we don't necessarily put him on a pedestal. It may not be the best term. But, you know, we look at a guy like Paul, and he's this amazing Christian that did all these great things. And he wrote books of the Bible and started churches. And he did all these amazing things. But really, I mean, he had a lot of help. And we really can't forget that it wasn't just, you know, the Paul show. I mean, there was a lot of people that were with him and helping him and that supported him and were there for him in different ways. And we can kind of see that as we go through some of these people in this list. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 again. First we see Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. And then the next part there in verse 2, it says, you know, that she had been a succorer of many. You know, the word succorer there literally means one who would protect and assist others, specifically financially. You know, Phoebe, you know, she may not have had a title in the church, but obviously she was a big help to Paul in his ministry there, and she helped him, whether it be financially or whether she was just there as a servant of the church. You know, whatever Paul was doing, Phoebe wanted to be a help. You know, if Paul needed to go somewhere and do something, imagine Phoebe was willing to help financially. She was willing to do whatever it took to be a help to him. You know, if he was going somewhere, she might have funded some of his journeys. She might have helped with a church startup. Phoebe was obviously a big help to Paul. I mean, she's the first one that he mentions. You know, and this, I believe, is the only place we see Phoebe in the scriptures. But, I mean, obviously, she was a big help to Paul financially and just in serving. You know, she was there for Paul. She helped Paul to accomplish some of the things that Paul did. And notice next, verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila. You know, verse 4 there it says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. You know, Paul here, as he's going through this list, he gets to Priscilla and Aquila. You know, a couple there, just a faithful couple that would often use their home for the ministry, that they would either house Paul or they would house other servants of the Lord. And then it says, you know, greet the church there in their house, that they were even letting the church meet in their house. I mean, they often would just use their house to serve and to be used for the ministry there. And it even mentions there, it says, lay down their own necks. You know, I mean, they risked their lives for Paul. That had they been found out, had it been made known that Paul was staying with them, they could have died. They could have lost their lives. But they loved Paul so much, they were willing to risk their lives for him. You know, they used their home to help Paul and to be an encouragement to Paul. I love the next one. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. You know, there's a few Marys in the Bible. This isn't one of the main ones there in the Gospels as far as we know. We don't know hardly anything about this lady Mary. All we know is that she obviously worked hard. You know, she may not have had much money. She may not have had much power. But what we do know is that she put in effort, that she would work, that she would labor, whatever it was. You know, if there needed something needed to be set up, if, I imagine if tables or chairs needed to be set up, if they were serving chili dogs one day, Mary would be there. Mary would be one of the ones volunteering and showing up and working hard to make whatever it was that was happening there in the church happen. I mean, she was just would work hard. I mean, what an awesome way to be written down in the Word of God as somebody who just labored hard for the church. Look at verse 7. Salute Adjunicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. You know, these two guys that, you know, I don't know exactly what the procedure was. You know, if maybe they met Paul in prison, or they were in prison along with Paul, or what exactly the case was. But I can imagine just a couple of guys that were a big encouragement to Paul. You know, in a time that would be stressful, a time that would be hard, a time that, you know, maybe it'd be easy to give in to the temptation of questioning why this is happening to him. In one of the many times Paul was in prison, you know, these two guys, I imagine, were an encouragement to him. They helped him to get through a difficult time. They were an encouragement. They prayed for him, prayed with him. Maybe they sang with him there in a prison cell, or whatever the case was. They were an encouragement to Paul. You know, and as we go down the list, you know, we really, truly don't know hardly anything about a lot of these names. We don't find them in other places. We don't find them in the Gospels or in Acts or anything like that. All we really know is that they loved Paul and they were an encouragement and help to Paul in some way or fashion through his ministry. You know, I love looking up some of the names and just trying to figure out a little bit. Some of the names, you know, we can guess and imagine that they were powerful people, that Narcissus apparently, you know, might have been a high-ranking government official. And I think it was Amplius was most likely, you know, a slave in the day. And he was pretty much a lesser known, kind of the lower end of the social scale there. And, you know, as you look through this, I mean, there's men, there's women, there's couples, you know, there's high-ranking people, powerful, wealthy people, and, you know, people that wouldn't be well-known in the community. And it's just kind of awesome to note that as you're looking through this long list of people, that their differences isn't what's emphasized. Rather, just their unity in Christ. You know, and as Paul is writing the book of Romans, there's multiple times where he references, you know, in Christ. And the fact that all these people were saved, that they had all accepted Christ as Savior, I mean, their differences didn't matter. I mean, they were just brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why they could greet each other with a holy kiss there and could be, you know, the friends that they were because of their unity in Christ. But the other thing that unified them, again, is just that Paul loved and was thankful for these people. You know, I mean, we look again at all that Paul did, the incredible things that he accomplished, and it's easy to kind of put him up on a pedestal and put him high in our mind. But again, we need to remember he wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't for a Phlegon, if it wasn't for an Amplius, if it wasn't for a Phoebe and a Priscilla and Aquila and all these kind of lesser-known people that just poured their lives into this guy named Paul. Into maybe this young Christian, a guy who hadn't been saved very long maybe, or whatever the case was. you know, kind of a new church planner. And they just poured their lives into him and gave money and opened their home and gave time and worked hard and sweat for his ministry. You know, they poured themselves into Paul so that he could do the great ministry that he did. You know, I look at my own life, and I'm certainly not comparing myself to Paul. Please don't get that idea. But, you know, I just look at where I'm at, and I'm just so thankful. You know, I'm a youth pastor up there in Michigan, and, you know, I've been able to see a few, you know, teens and kids saved and that sort of deal. And it's just, it's awesome, and it's exciting. And I look back to where I was when I was 15, 14, you know, as an unsaved guy there, just not heading towards a good path of life. You know what I mean? As just an unsaved teen there, and none of my family was saved. And I just, if you imagine where my life would have gone if it wasn't for all the people that invested in me. You know, because I'm so thankful that when I was 15, I believe it was, there was a family down the street named the Price family who invited the Berry family to a revival at New Testament Baptist Church. You know, my family got saved pretty much. My mom and dad and brother and myself all got saved, and just an awesome thing. You know, I'm thankful for my youth pastor back when I was a teen, a guy named Chuck Hughes, who led me to the Lord. And, you know, I was pretty rough around the edges. You may not believe that, but, you know, there was a time. And I was pretty rough around the edges. And, you know, I came in not knowing anything about living the Christian life. And, you know, he was there with me and helped me. You know, he was a construction guy, and there was a summer that Chuck Hughes hired me, you know, to work with him. He didn't hire me for my construction skills. I knew nothing about construction. He had to spend a lot of time teaching me how to do everything. But he hired me so that he could invest in me, so he could talk to me in the car on the way to and from a workplace and ask me how my Bible reading was going and make sure I was doing right and doing good. You know, I'm thankful for my pastor back in Tucson who just invested in my life and would always come and visit and just hang out with us. And it was just an awesome thing. You know, and then I went to Bible college, and I could think about some people there, like the Williams family, a guy named Rick Williams who would invite me over to their house every Sunday for like 3 years. And just loved on me and helped me through it and was always there for me through college. You know, even Pastor Gillett, while I was in college, he would let, you know, this kind of dumb college student come and preach to the teens. You know, and he would give me that opportunity and help me to grow in that way. And I'm so thankful that he allowed me to do that. I mean, that was a big responsibility that he was allowing me to do and helping me to grow in doing that. And he invested a lot into me during that time. You know, I'm so thankful even now while we're up there in Michigan. You know, that as the youth pastor there, you know, the great things are happening. You know, I mean, I think the youth group is doing well, and the Lord is working and moving. But I would be an absolute fool, maybe a complete fool, to pat myself on the back and say, you know, wow, you're doing so good. No, I mean, God is working and moving. But again, nothing would be happening if it wasn't for the great workers and helpers that are with me. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, Tony could say the same thing. There's a guy I think could think of named Josh Steiner. He just graduated college, and this guy, whatever is happening, jumps in and helps. He works hard, he sets things up, he does games for him, he does all this stuff, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do as a youth pastor if it wasn't for those people helping me. You know, I think of my parents, you know, the godly example that they are, you know, they get up every morning and read their Bible. You know, I think our family here in Texas and starting this camp and just the example they are to me and the help that they've been to me is they've invested in my life. And I just look back at it all, and like Paul, I could write this long list of names of people that have helped me to get to where I am today, and that I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for this long list of people who sacrificed and invested into my life. And, you know, so what I really want to encourage you tonight is this: that there are people in your life that God wants you to invest in. There are people in your life that God wants you to just pour yourself into and be a help to and to encourage and to be there for. You know, I think of your pastor, Pastor Gillett, who's an amazing, amazing man. He's a great pastor. You are blessed to have an amazing pastor. But again, I mean, if Paul needed help, I'm telling you, Pastor Gillett needs help. He needs people that'll stand behind him. He needs people that will be there for him. He needs some Phoebes that when the church wants to do something, they'll say, I'll give to that. I'll help with that. You know, he needs some Priscillas and Aquilas who will say, whatever it is, we'll risk our lives for that. We're there for you, Pastor. You know, he needs some Junias and Adronicuses who will encourage. You know, in the stressful and difficult days, would be a shoulder to lean on, would be an encouragement. that would write a note of saying thank you, and you know, we appreciate all that you do, and you know, he needs those people to stand behind him. You know, the rest of the church staff here, you know, Tony, Brother Earl, and Brother Johnson, I mean, they all need you to be with them. They need encouragement. They need help to accomplish the great vision that they have to reach the people of Worth Baptist Church. You know, whoever your Sunday school teacher is, you know, they might need some encouragement. No, actually, they're not. They need some encouragement. They need some help. You know, they need you to encourage and help, and maybe just write them a note. Thank you for teaching every week. You know, just be there for them. Help them. You know, I think about some of the missionaries. You know, I love what you said about, you know, writing them a happy birthday email. You know, because there's some missionaries that, like Paul, are thousands of miles away. They're doing great things for God. They're serving, and, you know, I'm going to tell you, some that are probably lonely. There's some that are probably discouraged. There's some that want to do more, but, you know, they just don't have the ability to. They just don't have the funds to. You know, I'm confident there'd be some missionaries that, you know, could, again, use a Phoebe. They would say, you need help with that? You know, I'll send some, I'll give to that, I'll help with that. You know, there's probably some missionaries that could really use some encouragement. They could really use a family that, you know, you might say, well, I can't give to that. You could call them up, you could email them, you could write them a note and write them back and forth and just be a friend for them. I'm sure some are lonely. And some could just use a person that's interested in what's happening. And more than anything, they need you to pray. They need you to invest in their ministry by praying. You know, there's some teens here in this church, and I'm so excited to see a bunch of teens. I know, you know, just my heart for the teens back in Michigan, and, you know, there's a lot of teens that God has big and awesome plans in their lives. And, you know, just statistically, you know, if the statistics just ran true, you know, many teens won't stay faithful after high school, and that's just the truth. That's just statistics. But I think one of the best ways to break that cycle is to invest in their lives, is to learn their names, to maybe invite them over for lunch. You know, maybe one of them doesn't have enough to go to camp. Maybe you can give them a job to do. You know, again, not for their incredible talent, because you're trying to invest in their lives, because you want to get to know them. You know, and even to the teens. You know, there's younger teens, and even teens your age, even older teens. I don't care. There are teens that need you to invest in them. You know, I tell our seniors all the time that, you know, there are seventh graders that look up to you. You know, teens, I'm just telling you, there are younger teens in you that you can influence more than Brother Tony can. That's just the truth of it. They look up to you. You're a peer to them, and you can influence their lives and help them to grow. You can do that for them. You can invest in their lives. You know, there's probably some bus families and bus teens and bus kids, you know, that they're probably a little rough around the edges. They may not talk the way they're supposed to. They may not dress the way they're supposed to. But, you know, one of the best ways you can invest in their lives, you know, be like a Phoebe. You know, if there's a bus teen or bus kid that doesn't dress the way they're supposed to, instead of talking about it, you know, invite them out and go buy them some clothes. They'll remember that for the rest of their lives, I promise you. And just invest in their lives. Just pour your life into them. Learn their names. Get to know them. And just pour your life into some people. You know, there's just people all around you that can use investment. You know, Paul wouldn't have gotten to be the man he was, wouldn't have done all that he did, if it wasn't for people investing in him. And I'm telling you, I promise you, there are people in your life that God wants you to invest in. There are people that God wants you to pour your life into. You know, I like to kind of think of it as, you know, a river. You know, there's a little bit of an illustration. You may have heard of the term tributary before, that a river, as other smaller rivers pour into it, grows. You know, a Mississippi River is a great example, that at the end of it, you know, I got the privilege to see the Mississippi River at one point. I mean, it's an impressive thing. The Mississippi River at its, you know, greatest area there, the greatest spot, it's a powerful, mighty, flowing river. You know, and it really is amazing. It moves boats just down the way, and it's powerful. But, you know, way up north at the start of the Mississippi River, it's just a tiny, tiny little stream. And as other, you know, rivers and other streams and other creeks, you know, tributaries as they're called, pour into the Mississippi River, it grows and grows and grows and grows and eventually becomes the mighty Mississippi River that we know. But again, it wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for all of the tributaries pouring themselves into it. It just wouldn't be. It just wouldn't be. And that's like a person's life, that you can help them to grow and be the Christian they ought to be by encouraging them, by helping them, by doing all that you should for them, by being there for them. You know, I mentioned the Camp Liberty. I'm sure most of you know quite a bit about Camp Liberty, or at least pretty familiar with it. And I just love the heart and the passion and the vision, you know, that my family has for that camp. You know, I'm going to let you in on a secret. This is going to be a little bit shocking, maybe, but they're not starting a camp for the money. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, they're not starting the camp for the money. Any accountant, you know, an unsaved, you know, money expert would look at what they're doing and would hit their head against the wall and be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? This is crazy. You know, they're not starting a camp, you know, off in a small, lesser-known town for the fame. They're not. They're just not. They're starting a camp, and they're pouring their lives, you know, their time, money, effort, sweat into starting a camp to invest in the lives of teens, so that some kids would look back down the road and say, you know, I made decisions for Christ at that camp. You know, that's just a perfect example of what we're talking about here. You know, that you need to just invest your lives into some people. God has blessed you, and God has given to you, and God has helped you. Pour that into somebody else. Pour that into another person's life. You know, you can be a tributary that changes a person's life. You know, you don't have to have a title, you just have to care. You don't have to be wealthy, you just have to be willing. You know, you don't have to be skilled, you just have to be loving. You know, be a tributary for somebody. You know, at the start of the message, I asked you to raise your hand if you could name 5 people that have influenced and invested in your life. You know, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm not asking for you to answer, but you know, I just wonder, you know, how many people thought of you? How many people thought of you as a person that invested into their lives? And how awesome would it be in 15 years from now if somebody was to ask the same question that 10 people in the room would say, man, the first person that comes to mind is brother so-and-so, you know, and how they just taught faithfully and how they were there for me, or sister so-and-so, and how, you know, she just visited me when I needed some encouragement and she was there for me, or, you know, man, she paid my way to camp, or, you know, he did this for me. And how awesome would it be in 15 years from now for multiple families and multiple people to think of you as the person that invested into their life and helped them to get to the place where they were at? You can do that. You absolutely can do that. You can change somebody's life. You can invest in somebody's life. You know, there might be the next Paul running around here, you know. There might be somebody there is somebody in here that's going to accomplish great things for God, and they need you to invest in their lives. Just go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes as we get into an invitation here. You know, Lord, I just thank you so much for this passage. Lord, I thank you just for the example of Paul. Lord, and just how he was so thankful for these people, God, that had invested in his life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be thankful for those that have invested in our lives. Lord, help us to remember them and be thankful for them. But more than anything, God, I just pray that you would help us to invest in the lives of those around us. God, there's so many people in all of our lives that just need a friend, that just need a person to be an encouragement to them, that just need a Phoebe to help them out, and just need a Priscilla and Aquila to invite them to their house, and just need, you know, these people to invest in their lives so they can be all that they should be for you. Lord, we're just going to thank you for it. Lord, and as the invitation goes here, if you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you'd go ahead and stand as we go through the invitation here. You know, maybe the Lord brought somebody to mind. Somebody that you know, man, this person is in my life so I can invest in them. Maybe come forward and ask God to help you to be that person. Help you to invest in their lives. You know, maybe somebody specific came to mind. Maybe just you want God to help you to be that kind of person and to have that heart to invest in the lives of others. You know, I ask you, may pray there, come forward and pray, however you do it. But ask God to help you to be a tributary. It'll just change somebody's life. It'll encourage somebody. It'll help somebody. It'll be there for them. Because you can. You can change a life. There are people all around you that God wants to use in a great and mighty way. But they need some help. They need some encouragement. They need to be invested in. You know, if Paul needed help, I guarantee some of these need help.